Chapter 8. The Diamond Dealer. One evening late in the summer, we went to Aldobrand's house before sunset. It was a small white house with green shutters and a little garden in front of it. He lived in this neighborhood with several other jewelers, but they had no shops. They usually had a sign above their door saying that they bought and sold jewels. A little old man with white hair and a white beard opened the door. He was at least 70.
"Well, gentlemen, what do you want to sell?"
he asked us in English.
"Please remember that I buy only good diamonds, no toys."
Elsevier answered,
"This boy has a diamond to sell."
I had the diamond in my hand and gave it to him. He looked at it carefully and brought it close to his eyes. Suddenly, his face and his voice changed. His eyes shone as he looked at the diamond.
"It's too dark here. I need more light,"
he said.
"Follow me."
He went upstairs, and we followed him closely because he had the diamond in his hand. He went into a room with a big window, a small balcony, and cupboards and shelves. There were small black boxes and books on the shelves. He sat at a small table and looked at the diamond. Then he held it up against the light of the window. He looked at me excitedly and said,
"What's your name, young man? Where do you come from?"
"My name's John Trenchard, sir, and I come from Moonfleet in Dorset." He wrote this down in a big book. Elsevier looked at me angrily, and I immediately understood. Why did I give that man my name? I didn't know that this was going to change my life.
"How did you get this diamond?"
asked Aldebrand, touching it with his finger.
"We're not here to answer questions,"
said Elsevier angrily.
"We came here to sell a good diamond. We're honest Englishmen. Do you want to buy it?"
"Well, I must test it before I decide to buy it,"
said Aldebrand. He opened a cupboard and took out a bottle of green liquid, some scales, and a black stone. He weighed the diamond, rubbed it against the black stone, and then put a drop of green liquid on it. As I waited for Aldebrand's decision, I stood on the balcony and looked at the small garden with tall red flowers and a pear tree. "How much money is the diamond worth?" I thought excitedly. £10,000, or £50,000, or perhaps £100,000. Suddenly, Aldebrand turned around and said,
"Gentlemen, this diamond is not a diamond. It's only a pretty piece of glass. It didn't pass any of the tests. First, it's too light. A diamond is heavier. Second, it didn't make a white line on the black stone, and the green liquid did not become orange when it touched the diamond."
"What?"
said Elsevier, who was very disappointed.
I can't believe it."
"But I can give you £10 for it,"
said Aldebrand, looking at us carefully.
£10,
cried Elsevier angrily.
"We don't need £10. This diamond has a curse on it."
He took the diamond and threw it out of the window into the garden. Aldebrand stood up and cried,
"Ah, you fool! Why did you throw it out of the window?"
Elsevier took my arm and pulled me out of the room and down the stairs. He was very angry as we walked back to our inn.
"Leave that diamond alone, John. It's cursed. It has brought us bad luck."
"No, Elsevier. The diamond is ours," I said. "And it's not a piece of glass. We were fools to believe Aldebrand. I saw his face and his eyes when he looked at the diamond. He knew it was a precious diamond. We must go back to Aldebrand's garden and find it. I saw it fall near one of the tall red flowers. I can find it. I'm sure I can, Elsevier."
"No, John, listen to me,"
said Elsevier.
That diamond's cursed, and it will bring us more bad luck. Forget it.
Please, Elsevier, I said excitedly. Let's go to Aldebrand's garden tonight and I'll find the diamond.
Ah, I don't know, John,
he replied. Elsevier finally agreed with me, and that night we went back to Aldebrand's house. Everything was dark and silent, and we saw only one light in Aldebrand's upstairs room. We climbed over the garden wall quietly, and I started looking for the diamond near the tall red flowers. But it was gone. Aldebrand's already found it, I said softly. He knows it's not a piece of glass. Now, I'm going to climb on the pear tree and look inside his room.
I'll follow you,
said Elsevier.
But be careful, John.
Don't worry, I said excitedly. I climbed up to the balcony and saw Aldebrand sitting at his table, looking at my diamond. I was very angry because Aldebrand had stolen it. Without waiting to ask Elsevier what to do, I jumped through the window and into the room and put my hand on the diamond. Elsevier was behind me. Aldebrand screamed,
"Thieves! Thieves! Help!"
Suddenly, six big men who were Aldebrand's servants came into the room and hit us with sticks. I fell to the floor. I saw Elsevier fighting bravely, but then he fell too.